Hello, everybody. It is May 10th. It is 2020. And my name is Stopping the Music Suddenly, Accidentally, before it's fully faded out. Let's try that again. It's fully faded out now. This is the News with Nick show. And it's May 10th, and the website is newswithnick.com. If you want to head over there, you can watch the video version of this show, this recording, whatever you want to call it, all right? I pay for the website, and I keep seeing that it exists, and I keep going, oh, God, right, that website still exists, and I better put something up there. Amid these times of crisis and unknowing and level oneness that we will get into shortly here, I have to admit that the News with Nick history and website is like one of the greatest things I've ever done. And I can always point people to that and be like, you like my jokes? Head on over to the site, watch hours and hours of it, and usually just be offended and then hate me more, right? But you know, it's like, you can't just do something. You can't just like give up something just because the world falls apart, right? Or because you get lazy or you feel like you don't want to do it anymore. We got to keep trying. So here's me recording something to try to put on the show. Last time you heard from me was the beginning of March. And we had just started this little crisis here of the virus thing. I got to open the door. It is so hot in here. So beginning of March, whatever. We have the whole world blows up, right? The virus, right? And that's all we've heard about for 2 months. So I go, I can't do a show. If we thought 2016 was bad with Trump, all the way through the 27th, out like forever. And I was like, there's nothing to talk about. It's just headlines about Trump. If we thought that was bad, that was nothing. This is insane. And I'm like, okay, I'll just do a show where I just don't talk about it, right? And that's great, and we're going to try. But I tried scrolling the news, and it's impossible. And I don't think it's just from not trying. Like, there's a lot of stories out there, but at this point, it's like trying to do a story of someone who doesn't have clothes on, right? Every single aspect of people's lives has been affected either by the existence of the coronavirus or by most likely the societal and governmental responses to such, right? So everything's got that underlying aspect to it. And it is what it is, I guess. We just do our best, and that doesn't mean we give up. Right? It doesn't mean we can't stop talking. It just means we can't just say the same things everyone else is saying. The world has turned extremely level one, right? You walk into any store and you see the same sign that you've seen 1,000 times, right? Please stay 6 feet away from each other. No crap, idiots. It's not like you haven't said it in every store. Every single company, I mean, obviously, like, you're not going to be, nobody's going to be the one company where it's like, well, we didn't order any signs, we didn't do anything. But it makes me think, like, how many of these things that people are putting into place are actually helping, right? So we're on the verge of mandatory masks, probably in most states. Now, I used to say this, I said this early March, that, like, we're on the verge of a lockdown in every state and military is rolling the streets. I was wrong. Okay, that's not how it went down. So maybe mandatory masks won't come to every state, but in Massachusetts there are. If you can't socially distance and you're in a place that is, quote, open to the public, you can get a fine for not wearing a face covering. I don't know. What does that even mean? Can I take duct tape and tape it over my mouth and then tape it over my nose and I can't breathe at all and that counts as a face covering? Checkmate, police. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of things you could put in your face and then you just say checkmate, police. Although you probably couldn't say it if there was tape on your mouth. Right. So I don't know. It's whatever. I guess it's just how it is. We will accept that this is the world. We can still talk about it a little bit, but we won't dwell on the on the specifics and or on the, all the things that everyone else is. We'll just live life how it is. How's everyone's mask coming along, right? This is just a new fashion statement. And there's no denying the fact that looking at some of these masks, it's like, that's a pretty sexy looking mask right there. I wish I had one of those that form fitted my face and made my jawline look sweet and had Hello Kitty all over the front of it, right? That'd be amazing. I want to wear a mask, and I want to take a selfie of me looking all cool with a mask on where you can only see my piercing eyes through above the mask. And then I go, no, you can't do that. Everyone's doing that. Does everything have to be anti-level one, though? Like, I feel like I can't even wear a mask at all, even if I owned one, because once I do, I'm going to be level one. I'm going to be just like everyone else. But why am I so opposed to that, right? Don't be level one. Now, and then if you think about it too much, it's level one to oppose the mask. I don't know. My brain just, I guess I just shoot myself because it's way too confusing. Kim Jong-un is alive. For the past 4 weeks, the world has been wondering where Kim Jong-un is and if he's even alive. Kim hadn't been seen publicly since April 11th, and he missed a really important national holiday on April 15th, honoring his grandfather. State-run media didn't publish any photos of a recent weapons test, which typically show the leader watching in approval, and official statements from the country have curiously lacked any direct comments from Kim himself. All that led to rampant media speculation that 36-year-old Kim was recovering from major surgery or gravely ill or dead, and a flurry of activity by the United States intelligence to figure out what, if anything, is really going on. Turns out he's alive. A couple weeks ago, the North Korean state radio reported that the supreme leader had participated in a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the opening of a new fertilizer plant. So Kim Jong-un disappears from the media spotlight for quite a while, and then there's reports that he died, and these reports seemed relatively credible, and TMZ even didn't confirm, but TMZ posted, oh, hey, it looks like Kim Jong-un has died, but that didn't turn out to be the case. So Kim Jong-un still alive, thank goodness, right? Well, I've made this joke before. He's like, you never think that Kim Jong-un could possibly be scary because you just look at him and he's just like jolly. He's just like a guy who's going to bumble around and order his military around, but he can't be serious. He wouldn't really launch any nukes because that'd be mean. And he doesn't look like a mean guy. He looks like just a fun guy you don't want to hang out with, right? So whatever. Kim Jong-un alive and well. That is that news. Let's see what else we have in the notes as far as... Oh, so a couple weeks ago, obviously, because of current events, everyone's super hand-washy, right? Everyone, you got to be washing your hands 100% of the time. It's another one of those level one things, right? Stand 6 feet apart while simultaneously washing your hands. So I'm in the bathroom at work, and I'm changing my clothes so that I can go running. Sometimes I change at home, and sometimes I change at work so that I can just go straight into the car and then straight to the running location and then run. It's just mentally easier to do so, right? Speaking of which, I've been running a lot more, you guys. I'm back up to my 35 miles a week. I know you guys thought I was injured, but I just kept running and the injury went away. Or I feel it, but it's not nearly as bad as it was and I can still get through. So we are good. We're almost, I guess we're like 100% back. I'm not an old man anymore. Every time I get a tiny bit injured, I go, is this it? Is this the end of running? What am I going to do? Because I legit don't know what I would do, right? I know it's corny to say, but it's like a main habit for me. I know these smokers, they're like, I don't really have a life. I just have things that I do between each cigarette. Well, I'm the same, right? I don't really have a life. It's just things that I do until the next run, right? And then when I'm not running so much, my schedule's disrupted, my mental health is disrupted. I guess I could just be one of these old guys. I run into them all the time and they go, I used to be a runner, but now my knees blew up. They're just dust now. So I bike, right? I'd like to become a biker. That'd be pretty cool. So I'm in the bathroom changing my clothes And as I'm exiting the stall, I've got all my clothes in my hand with my bag and everything. The toilet flusher, automatic flusher, goes off and it goes. I go, ah, sounds like I was going to the bathroom. That's disgusting. I would never do that in a stall. And at work especially, right? That's so gross. But in my brain, I go, oh, now it sounds like I went to the bathroom, but it's fine. I obviously didn't. I'm just changing my clothes. So I walk out, and then as I'm walking out, there's a guy at the sink, and he knows me, and he's washing his hands, and he looks back at me. And now I have like a second and a half to make a quick decision. I'm about to walk out of the bathroom, but he's watching me walk out of the bathroom without washing my hands, but I didn't go to the bathroom. So I shouldn't have to wash my hands, but he thinks I did, or he thinks I might have. I'm about to walk out, so I've got 2 seconds, one and a half, to decide, do I throw all my clothes on the floor and then run to the sink and go, ha-ha, I was just going to wash my hands anyway. Like, pretend that that was my schedule, like my plan. But what if I do that, what if he knows that I'm just doing it because he saw? So I just book it out of the bathroom, and now I still don't even know what he thinks of me. He's probably like, oh my God, it's Nick is so disgusting. He doesn't wear a mask. And he runs out of the bathroom without washing his hands all of the time. Kevin Spacey's been in the news regarding this too. Kevin Spacey compared people losing their jobs during the pandemic to his loss of work over sexual assault allegations. And of course, if Kevin Spacey's in the news, we have to do a show. Spacey was invited to talk at a German business conference called Bits and Pretzels. He told the conference that he's able to empathize with people who are losing their jobs. He says, I don't think it will come as a surprise for anyone that my world completely changed in the fall of 2017. My job, my relationships, and my standing in my own industry were gone in just a matter of hours. Spacey says he doesn't usually like to say that he knows what someone is going through because it may undermine their experience. But nevertheless, in this instance, I feel as though I can relate to what it feels like to have your world suddenly stop. Let's see if we've got a video of him talking.
I had no idea what to do next. Because all I ever knew was how to act. All I ever wanted to do was act. From the time I was 11 years old, I dreamed of acting. I thought I was born to do it. I did it my whole life. And when my career came to a grinding, screeching halt, when I was faced with the uncertainty that I might never be hired as an actor again, I had to ask myself a question I'd never asked myself before, which is, if I can't act, who am I? I mean, I'd only ever valued myself through my work. I'd only defined myself through my work. That's who I was.
And while we may have found ourselves in similar situations, albeit for different reasons, I still feel the sum of the emotional struggles are very much the same. And so I do have empathy for what it feels like to suddenly be told you can't go back to work or that you might lose your job. And it's a situation you have absolutely no control over. All right. Spacey then compared artists to entrepreneurs and used a car analogy to drive his point home. Ha, get it? The disgraced actor said that both sets of people are full throttle in their quests to fulfill their visions. Don't ever stop to check how they are doing personally. When a car finally does come to a stop, either through success or through failure, we may have no idea where we are. Or even worse, we have no idea who we are. And that's exactly what happened to me, Kevin Spacey said. So, if you want to watch the full 10-minute video, I guess, YouTube Kevin Spacey at Bits and Pretzels. Now I want pretzels. So part of this, during the lockdown, quarantine, whatever, which, by the way, people are just throwing around the word, I'm quarantined. No, you're not. Nobody's freaking quarantined unless you have contact with a case or you have contact or you're the case, right? Otherwise, all these idiots going around, I'm quarantined. They're the same. I don't know. Right? Yeah. The state is under stay-at-home order. Right? You're not quarantined. There really is no rule against seeing people. Sorry. I guess some states and some counties have proposed that they ban, like, driving from one house to another. And maybe you could say that, oh, if non-essential travel is banned, then traveling to your friend's house is banned, right? But also in the same sort of orders, they're like, don't have gatherings more than 10 people, which implies that gatherings of fewer than 10 people are completely fine. I don't know. Sorry, I don't want to get into this. My bad. But anyway, as part of this, the NFL had to have their draft, right? And usually they just hold it in a big conference center. 32 different teams plus the NFL employees are all in the same space, and a lot of the college recruits are in the same space. So this time they did the draft over virtual conference, which is actually pretty impressive if you take into account that they've got to do 32 different head coaches, video cameras. They've got to do the college recruits video cameras so that they can have some info. They have to have the announcers. They had like cheerleaders too, like streaming cheerleaders for some reason, just as part of the entertainment. And as part of all this, I mean, there's no way that Bill Belichick is setting up his own camera and logging into Zoom and going, I wonder how I join the meeting of the NFL draft. No. So there's professionals that have to be going to each of these people's houses, right, to set up the camera. So it's like, I don't know. What if that guy brought in the thing? But anyway, it doesn't matter. I guess the point still stands that they're not all in one big room. But it's still funny to think that like a professional probably had to go to each of these places and do the setup, which is actually a ton of effort and coordination. So kudos, I guess, because that sounds like a lot of stuff you would have to coordinate when normally you're just preparing to have everyone in one location. You've completely changed the logistics of the event, and it seemed to go off okay. Anyway, so Roger Goodell is in his house. Roger Goodell is the commissioner of the NFL, and he has to announce all of the picks. And he's acting so goofy, but not on purpose. Like, he's acting all weird. And during the draft, he makes an announcement. He's trying to make an announcement that Las Vegas is going to get another shot at the draft in 2022, and he really messes up his announcement.
Make a special announcement. As you may know, we are scheduled to host a draft in Vegas this year. And we thank so many for the effort they put forth to prepare that possibility. And we think you deserve another shot. So we're happy here to announce that tonight, the Las Vegas Raiders will host the 2020 NFL Draft. Congratulations to Mark Davis.
So he says, Las Vegas was supposed to host this year's draft, so we're going to make an announcement and say that Las Vegas can host the 2020 draft. And everyone's going, what? This is the 2020 draft. So he really meant to say 2022, but that announcement got completely screwed up. So that's a funny story. What's next here? 5-year-old stopped for impaired driving in Ogden after mom wouldn't buy him a Lamborghini. Let's see. The police stopped a car around 1 p.m. because trooper believed the driver was impaired. Let's see what this video has to show us. Oh, it's 7 minutes long. We're not going to be able to watch that. Turns out it was a 5-year-old Adrian who told troopers he left home after an argument with his mom in which she told him she would not buy him a Lamborghini. He decided to take the car and go to California and buy one himself. Police said Adrian might have been short on the purchase amount. He only had $3 on him. All right, let's see what this video has to say.
They thought they were stopping a drunk driver, but, well, the driver wasn't drunk. He was actually a 5-year-old boy.
And brand new and exclusive at 10, this 5-year-old boy who drove his family's car onto I-15, he's home safe tonight and talking to 2 News. The wild incident caught on a trooper's dash camera.
Jeremy Harris was able to track down the boy and his family today. They spoke only with Jeremy about what happened. And Jeremy, how are they going to keep this boy off the road until he turns 16?
Ha ha. All right, let's see what this guy has to say about this kid who was 5 and driving a car.
Well, they have a plan for it. They say they're going to start hiding the keys. But this is really a wild story. And any trooper will tell you that they never really know what.
What? How about just beat your kid and be like, don't drive until you're 16? That'll work.
What to expect from the drivers that they encounter during a traffic stop. But I don't think any trooper could have anticipated the driver they would meet today on the highway.
In addition, Adrian isn't saying much tonight.
They're pulled over.
Good for him. He already knows. When you get interviewed or interrogated, say nothing. Hey, what happened? I got pulled over. That's funny that, like, he was driving, and then the cops pull up behind him, and what, he pulls over? That's crazy. What did he think was going to happen? Like, I'm five. I guess I'm allowed. I guess I'm not allowed to be driving. I guess I should pull over.
But then again, it's tough to even find words to begin to describe what he's been through today.
Police said I drive good.
That's Adrian behind the wheel of this SUV as Utah Highway Patrol Trooper Rick Morgan gets him to pull over on I-15.
It was pretty clear when the window came down.
At just 5 years old.
What the heck? This kid is huge. Is this how he's driving? Maybe we're going to get some footage here of how he can even reach the pedals.
Adrian had taken the keys to his family.
By the way, this means that the news went to his house and said, hey, Adrian, that was pretty freaking sweet that you were five driving your parents' car down the road. Can you walk out with our cameraman to the driveway and get in and like reenact what you did? Because that was so cool.
Lee's Dodge journey and gone on his own journey up Lincoln Avenue through downtown Ogden and then to the 25th Street entrance to the highway.
Shut up, nobody cares.
I was not expecting to find what I found.
Trooper Morgan and other officers found Adrian's house 2 miles away.
Oh, I lost it.
And back at home, his sister Sydney,
where are you going?
Could
for what?
Not believe it.
I called people because I was scared.
She says she was watching him and had taken a nap when she woke up.
And I seen that the truck was gone, that he was gone and the keys were gone.
And there too.
With just $3 in hand, what Adrian lacked in money, he made up for in ambition.
California.
Adrian says he was going to drive to California to buy a Lamborghini. His family says he's always loved cars, but they don't even know how he figured out how to drive an actual car.
Was he already on the way? Like, was he even going the right way? Because that's pretty impressive, too, because if I had to get to California, I would probably not even go the right way without looking at a GPS or something. Maybe he knows how to set the GPS. That makes the most sense, right? This news is so funny. Like, this guy, this kid has so much ambition. What if this really was a drunk guy and he was, like, blitzed, but he wanted to drive to California to buy a Lamborghini? I don't think the news would be reporting, like, super drunk guy has so much ambition. He was able to figure out how to drive a car while super drunk because he wanted a Lamborghini so bad. But nope, this five-year-old gets all the credit.
How does a little five-year-old, 11 years younger than me, do it, and I can't.
Holmes?
Ha! What? The girl, she's 16. Doing the math, right? 16 minus 11 is 5. And this dumb girl says, how does a five-year-old drive the car? I can't even drive the car. This whole family's like throwing up their hands like, I don't know how he learned to drive the car. Maybe he's just been the family driver this whole time.
Actual car.
How does a little five-year-old, 11 years younger than me, do it and I can't?
Home safe and lesson learned.
Oh yeah, a lot, many. To never leave the keys out.
It will be a few more years before little Adrian will be back on the road.
Why? Did he get his license suspended?
So how did he get the keys? Well, the family tells me that they were hanging on a hook and he somehow was able to get them down off the wall. They say they're going to prevent that from happening again.
Yeah, duh. Nobody hides their keys. Because nobody thinks that they have a five-year-old that's going to drive the car away. Although they probably knew that this kid was going to do it. Where did you come from? Where did you go? How did you get that car? Dash camera video says that they asked the kid. Yesterday was supposed to be the graduation ceremony for a whole bunch of different places, right? Oklahoma University's virtual graduation ceremony hacked by a racist interrupter. The headline says, disrupted by racist hacker. Rod Jones, The university's assistant director of media relations tells Time that the ceremony had been going splendidly until the very end. A student had just finished giving a blessing and the graduates' names began to roll across the screen when a slur and the symbol appeared. It was a swastika, Jones said. More than 650 people were watching the ceremony. It's bad enough we couldn't have a live ceremony and then this happened, Jones told Time. The ceremony honored the graduation of blah, 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 blah. University President Martha Berger said in a statement to Time that the university community is heartbroken and outraged that a moment that should have been spent honoring the graduating students was interrupted. Hey, well, you're the one writing an article on it, so whatever. We are heartbroken and outraged that the hate-filled attack that occurred at the end of our virtual graduation ceremony today, Berger's statement said, during a time that should have been focused on recognizing our graduating students, an unknown source was able to bypass the system and display racist and offensive language. We are deeply hurt and saddened by the pain that has inflicted upon our community. The class of 2020 has been champions of diversity and inclusion, and we will continue to show love and support to each other as a university family in the aftermath of this hate. The aftermath of this hate? You were in a Zoom call, and someone figured out your password because the password was probably like classof2020rocks.com. Gets into the presenter mode. I'm not even sure what the tech behind this was because I haven't done any research at all, as usual, and decided to gain attention by showing racist signs. This doesn't mean that the hacker is racist. I mean, the hacker probably is racist. Who cares? Like, it doesn't matter if the hacker is racist. The point is that was rude to do either way. But if the hacker had, and we use the term hacker loosely here, right? It's a person who guessed your password or figured out how you were doing the ceremony through the software and just logged in as elevated person, right? If the person had just shown like cute dogs or peanut butter jelly time, right? That wouldn't gain as much attention. They're out here to get people riled up so they show the most offensive thing possible. Apparently it caused aftermath, though, which is exactly what the hacker wants. Don't you realize that you making a statement and going, this hacker, what a horrible person. That person did a horrible thing, and we hate everything about what that person did, is like, that's exactly what they want. If you just, like, not even mentioned it, and there was no news, this wouldn't happen so much because no one would care. I'm not saying don't care. Oh, my God. Berger said the university begun a report to federal and state authorities and will work with law enforcement to identify the hackers and pursue every avenue available to ensure that those responsible will be held accountable under the law. Okay, good. I hope they're arrested. Let's see what happens. I'm interested to see what the case would be if they are arrested. Now, hacking is definitely against the law. It is a federal crime to gain access to a computer that you don't have authority to access. Not sure that that applies here, but it'd be interesting. To quote Jay Williams, class of 2020, from his blessing during today's celebration, where there is injustice, may we not be silent. Where there is harm, may we be makers of peace. Where there is hate, may we be agents of love. She says, I cannot remove the pain and hurt, but I want you to know that at OCU, we will continue to pursue the values that define us, values of integrity, respect, diversity, and inclusion, and collaboration. The only reason they'd have to go to this length is if, like, this was an inside job. Like, if there was an employee that had done this, then they would say, oh my God, we're so sorry that we hired this person. This was dumb of us. We should have known that this person had this in them, or we had no clue. They've been fired. We're calling the cops. But if it's just a random 4chan hacker, they were probably doing this across the entire internet. They were looking for vulnerable presentations to hack because it's funny to them. Jones said the university students intend to hold a love, not hate event at the university on Sunday afternoon in response to the incident. The students plan to plant signs in the ground to spread a positive message. This is crazy. This is a lot. Hackers exploited a vulnerability in Zoom's technology to interrupt a meeting. Oh, wait, that was a... That's when they end the story by referencing another story and linking you to it. So maybe it was Zoom. I don't think it actually... Oh, no, it does say Zoom. So, yep, they were able to hack Zoom and do some... Do a racist bombing, right? This is the new school shooting. It's just racist bombings on Zoom because not everyone's gathered. There's no shootings anymore. Except for the shooting that happened several months ago that we're going to get into just after I take a drink of this polar seltzer. Mmm. Ah. Oh, yeah. That was a nice break there. Got to stretch out my ears. Got to take a drink. And now, we're going to talk about the one story that everyone's talking about that is not related to the virus. On February 23rd, 2020, Ahmaud Arbery, an unarmed 25-year-old African-American man, was jogging in the afternoon along a road in Georgia when he was confronted by two armed men in a pickup truck, Travis McMichael and his father, George Gregory McMichael. According to authorities, Travis McMichael fatally shot Arbery. Authorities initially refused to arrest either of the McMichaels, saying that the shooting was a justifiable homicide. The two district attorneys who initially refused to investigate or charge the McMichaels later had to recuse themselves from the case after legal counsel for Arbery revealed significant conflicts of interest. And then on May 5th, 2020, which is 2.5 months later and this week, a video of the incident was uploaded to the website of a local radio station. It had been recorded by William Bryan, a neighbor of the McMichaels who was following Arbery in a second vehicle. The video was uploaded to YouTube and went viral. It's a 28-second clip, and it's been widely circulated, it says. All right, so here's the incident here. 36-second cell phone video of the incident shows Arbery. Oh, I just said 28-second, and now this says 36-second. I don't know. I'm reading from two separate sections of Wikipedia, right? Everyone can edit it, which we're going to get to in a moment. I'm going to need an editor. 36-second cell phone video of the incident shows Arbery running down a curving road, followed by Brian's vehicles. They come around a curve. Arbery encounters a white pickup truck that has overtaken him and stopped in his path. Brian slows down before coming to a complete stop behind Arbery and the pickup truck. The truck is stopped on the right side of the road. Initially, Arbery is running on the left side of the road. The two men are in the truck. Gregory McMichael is on the truck bed while Travis McMichael steps out of the driver's side with a shotgun. Oh my goodness. So you want to chase down a guy, right? He might be a burglar, we think. He's running down the street. You want to catch him, but you catch him while carrying your shotgun, which just increases the risk that the burglar will overpower you and take your shotgun, right? I don't know. Travis initially stands beside the driver's door as Arbery approaches the pickup truck. Shouting can be heard. Arbery then crosses the road and runs around the passenger side of the truck, which is on the right from the viewpoint of the video. So it sounds like he's trying to go around the truck on the opposite side of where Travis is standing. After passing the truck's front, Arbery turns left. Meanwhile, Travis approached Arbery at the truck's front. It appeared from the video that a gunshot is heard before Arbery is starting to struggle with Travis in front of the truck. So because, like, imagine you're running. You run around a truck. All of a sudden, a man jumps out with a shotgun. and it looks like he's coming for you. Of course a struggle might occur. Yeah, that's what you do. You go for the gun. Stop. Don't point it at me. This guy's going to shoot me anyway. I got to risk it. Arbery appears to throw punches and tries to grab the shotgun. Yep. There's a threat. I'm going to punch. A third shot is recorded being fired by Travis at point blank range. Arbery steps away from the fight and then collapses into the road. Travis walks away. Gregory McMichael, who has taken out a handgun but has not fired, runs toward the two men. No arrests were then made. From February until April, two local prosecutors recused themselves from the case due to Gregory McMichael's connections to the office. So one of the guys involved knows the prosecutor's office. So they ring up the prosecutors, right? They go, hey, there was kind of a shooting and it's these guys. Should we arrest them? And the prosecutors go, oh, it's just Greg? Nah, we'll just call it a justifiable homicide. All right, so according to what happened, let's see. And probably everyone's heard this story, but it's okay. We're doing it. So they were in the yard of the house when Arbery was running by. This is Travis and Gregory. Gregory sees Arbery, Gregory sees Arbery running by. He yells to Travis and he said, he's running down the street. Let's go. It's unclear why he would yell, he's running down the street. Let's go. Travis attempted to cut off Arbery with the truck. Arbery then turned. So they jump in the car and then Arbery then turned and began running back in the direction from which he came. A third person, which was the cameraman, also tried to cut off Arbery and failed. Is that the third person? Roddy? Hang on, let me find this out. Roddy. Oh, no. Who's Roddy? There's a whole nother guy here. Roddy tried to cut off Arbery, failed. Gregory then called out to Arbery, stop, stop, we want to talk to you. Gregory claimed that they pulled up to Arbery with Travis exiting the truck with a shotgun. Gregory claimed Arbery began to violently attack Travis before the shots were fired. And that is where the incident ended. Let's see if we've got some audio from the 911 calls or information.
I'm Tom Haynes. We begin tonight with major developments in the Glynn County shooting case that is making national headlines now.
The GBI has arrested Gregory and Travis McMichael, seen here, charging them each with murder and aggravated assault in the death of Ahmaud Arbery. Arbery was jogging through.
Oops, I got to do this whole segment over because I kept saying Arbery. So it's Arbery. Anyway, so it's been 2 months now since this happened. The prosecutor's office said, nah, nah, nah. Video gets posted, and then the video blows up. And now the two guys are arrested? Right. I mean, I don't even have to say that, oh, it's interesting that now they care. Yeah, now they care because it went viral. That's just how it goes.
Near Brunswick back in February when he was killed. The suspects reportedly told police they thought Arbery was involved in a nearby burglary, so they followed and confronted him. Cell phone video shows a scuffle broke out, and that's when investigators say the McMichaels shot Arbery at least twice before he fell to the pavement. Now, the two men told police they shot Arbery.
Let's skip ahead because we already know all this info.
Tonight, albeit months after Arbery's death.
Okay, what is he doing?
He's running down the street.
It's the jog that's jolted the country. Ahmaud Arbery's family says he often ran for exercise. According to police reports, Gregory McMichael says he and his son traveled to Arbery in this Satilla Shores neighborhood, thinking he was the suspect of break-ins. I reached out to Glynn County Police, requesting a list of all car and home break-ins in the Satilla Shores neighborhood from December 2019 through mid-March of this year. In all, there are 28th and January.
Wow, my computer's like glitching out. This is not good for the show. So we're going to close that tab and close this tab. Hopefully we do not crash the show. This is real bad. Okay. Long story long. The two guys say, oh, we thought he was part of a burglary recently. And then the news looks up, okay, there were no burglaries in the last month, though, so what the heck do you think he was doing? Well, we don't know. I don't know. He says, we thought he was part of a burglary. I don't have all the information. Then today, we got some new video. It's new info. It does not change the scenario, but it does show some more video of Arbery.
Troy Kless has the latest developments for us tonight. A video showing the last moments of Ahmaud Arbery's life. It's caused outrage around the country, with many asking why it took so long before shooter Travis McMichael and his father Greg McMichael were arrested. New video appears to be what a former prosecutor in the case referred to in an email sent after his recusal. On April 7th, Ware County DA George Barnhill wrote there was, quote, video of Arbery burglarizing a home immediately preceding the chase and confrontation.
Wow, that's actually a really, let's say, pointed way to put this. We have video of Arbery burglarizing a home immediately before the chase. Well, let's see if you do.
At 2:08 in the video, you see a man in a white shirt and shorts walk into a home under construction on Satilla Drive. Moments later, a person can be seen in the top left frame observing what's going on. A 911 call from that day has audio of a man saying there's someone in a house that's under construction. At 2:13, the first man appears to run out the front door and down the street. 6 minutes later, a police car drives down the road. Multiple first responders arrive minutes later. Investigators have not said there is any evidence Arbery burglarized the home. Police reports following the shooting did not know anything stolen on Arbery. Greg McMichael.
So at first, this story sounded like, oh, it was two guys with their shotgun in the yard. They saw a black guy running down the street and they immediately chased him and then shot him. Horrible. The stupidest thing I've ever heard. Right? You got no right to interrupt a runner for any reason. He could be nude. He could be doing any. He could be whatever. You have no right to stop him. Right? But now it's like, okay, well, maybe that wasn't the case. Why was he running and then he stopped running and he went into a house that was in construction and looked around? Hey, maybe he was just curious how the construction is going. It looked like he may have walked into the garage. He may have even walked into like the kitchen and then he ran out and he kept going. Now, you can't run with stuff. So he didn't have like a TV. He didn't have an iPhone or anything. Well, I guess he could have had an iPhone, right, in his pocket. Unlikely. He did trespass, though, which is a little strange. Now everyone's going to say, that doesn't mean he should be killed. Obviously! Yes, obviously this is still horrible. Right? But it's a little interesting that nothing is ever what it looks like in the first place. He wasn't just a guy running. He really did decide to go into a house and look around. Have I never done anything illegal while running? Have I never trespassed? No. Right? I've probably done several illegal things while running, mostly exposing myself accidentally to bears and birds because I have to go to the bathroom so bad. But if someone had binoculars, they could have seen me, maybe, or a telescope, or a super-powered microscope, right? Everyone, that's funny. No, but yeah. So I guess we'll just find out what happens next. I hope these guys get charged with murder, as they should be. You can't just run up to someone on the road with a shotgun and then shoot them and then everything's fine. That should not be the case. Here's the worst part of all of this. Why does the news keep calling him a jogger? It's like, oh, he was jogging down the road. Oh, the jogger was shot. These white guys went after a black jogger. I don't think he was jogging. He looks like he was running. And you people don't understand the difference, and apparently not everyone does, and apparently most people don't. This from verywellfit.com. You know we're in good shape because we go to verywellfit.com. If you asked most people, they would probably say that jogging is just a slow form of running. There isn't a strict rule for running pace versus jogging pace. Many sources say that the cutoff is 6 miles an hour. If you run a 10-minute per mile pace, it will take you just over... Okay, we're doing math now. Some people believe that joggers are more casual runners, those who run occasionally and don't follow a training schedule and don't compete in races. You'll hear some people say, I'm a jogger, but definitely not a runner. These people may be taken aback if they're put into the runner category as if they're not worthy of the title. Yeah, when someone is not doing well in their race or when someone is taking it easy, we call them joggers to make fun of them. Or I make fun of myself. And I go, oh, I was basically jogging today, right? So when I'm finally run over by an SUV, as I almost was, whatever, 6 months ago, in front of the police station that one time I talked about, please, the news is going to call me a jogger. They're going to say, jogger, run over by SUV, brutally smashed in the road. It's going to suck. It's going to be worse than death. I'm going to be dying in the road going, don't say I was a jogger. He died doing what he loved, jogging into a shotgun. No! Crazy. All right, we're going to finish up today with a stupid, uplifting story. No, I don't know. I just found this today. Let's see what it's about. I have no even clue what's going on anymore. I'm just here to tell you guys that I'm still alive. The website still exists, and I have to keep paying for it, so I might as well put something on it.
18 years old, but check out what this kid did. Take a look at this. Cold, hard cash. A lot of it.
Okay. News. I'm gonna look at this stack of cold, hard cash. I want to know what a kid did with it.
Take a look at this. Cold, hard cash. A lot of it. This week, Jose Nunez found all this money and turned it in. It all started when Jose was going to buy socks for his grandfather. He stopped at this ATM.
Ha! What? I wonder how they got a shot of the money. Did they just go to the police station and be like, hey, that kid's money that he turned in, can you take it out of the evidence locker and we'll take a photo of it for the news?
For his grandfather. He stopped at this ATM on Central and Juan Tabo and saw the bag.
When I saw all that money, you know, I was in shock. I didn't believe I was looking at so much, never have. And in the back of my head, I was just thinking about my parents, especially my mom.
No doubt his family could use this money. Instead, Jose, who is studying criminal justice at CNM, called police.
The bag of cash initially said $60,000.
When cops counted it, turns out it was $135,000.
Wow, that's really rare for police to pick up a bag of money, and when they're done with it, there's more money in the bag than what it said. They should have just been like, it was 60. Yep. Thanks, Jose, for turning that in. It was definitely only 60, as it says right here on the bag. Which is funny. Like, did the bag literally just say 60K, like in a cartoon on the side of it? This kid's funny. I was standing at the ATM and I saw the bag. Which, why would there be a bag of $135,000 next to an ATM? It's not like you could have taken that much out of the ATM and then forgot it. Were they going to deposit it? Yeah, I'm going to be here a while. Just depositing this money like a casino ticket machine. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Cops counted it. Turns out it was $135,000. The chief says at 19, Jose is too young to be a police officer, but they're definitely recruiting him.
We're sure going to offer him as a job as a public safety officer.
They even
not if your name is Malachi Love Robinson, then you can do whatever you want.
Offer him as a job as a public safety officer.
They even took Jose on a tour of the police academy. Jose credits his mom and dad for his integrity.
I appreciate my parents were always teaching me everything I know.
And while he didn't walk away with this, he is getting a lot of recognition from folks in the community.
I got 500
including
bucks.
Cash from the owners of El Patron Restaurant and Rayleigh Holmes. And lots of merch from ESPN Radio.
We have a Brian Urlacher autographed football.
From one proud New Mexican to another.
I'm proud to be an Albuquerque resident.
The police chief says Jose wants to be a...
So why is he getting so much praise? Why is the radio station coming out and giving him all this money? Why did he get 500 bucks from a grocery store? Because he found a bag of drug money and called the police? That means you're a hero? We got to read the story shortly.
Police chief says Jose wants to be a crime scene investigator. As for the person who is supposed to deliver that money to the ATM, no word if that guy still has a job. Nancy Laughlin, KOAT Action 7 News.
Albuquerque police understand the money was mistakenly left outside the ATM by a bank subcontractor that was meant to supply the machine with cash. Oh, did the video say that and I wasn't paying attention? So literally, it wasn't someone that was supposed to be depositing it. It was a guy who worked for the ATM company or the bank company supposed to, like, put it in, like how the Redbox guy goes up and puts the new movies in. I love it when the Redbox guy is putting the movies in and then I run up to him and I go, give me all your movies. Just hold him at gunpoint, just like an ATM holdup, right? This money could have made an incredible amount of difference in his life if he went down the other path, but he chose the integrity path and did the right thing. So if I found $135,000, by the way, write in what you would do if you found it. You have to turn it in, especially if you found it next to an ATM. There are more cameras next to an ATM than pretty much anywhere in your town. If you live in a small town, if you live in a casino town, then yeah, there's probably more cameras in the casino. But other than that, the ATM is pretty cameramized, right? You're not going to grab that money and get away with it. They're going to be looking at that and they're going to be pulling a Reddit on you. Find this guy. He's got $135,000. So that's that story. That kid got a lot of stuff, I guess.
Tomorrow to apply to the police department.
Great. So now we made a cop out of him. So that's the worst thing that could happen to someone who's done a good thing. Here, become a cop. Become a horrible person. Oh, no. Now the cop lovers won't listen anymore. Okay. This has been a show recording. I don't know. Go to the website, type your phone number in the sidebar, and I'll try to do another recording shortly, right? I gotta make notes. I gotta do the show recordings, and we're just gonna have to live with the fact that we're gonna talk about what's happening in the world, right? The virus, the lockdowns, mandatory masks, and I'll try to update you guys next time with if I now have to wear a mandatory mask all over the place. All right, thanks for coming. Thanks for listening for a few minutes. Okay, bye. It's newswithnick.com, the site. That's the site. And my name is News.